This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Rick Steves is our guest in this hour of the Afternoon Magazine. He is a big supporter of public broadcasting. He even has a public television show, which you can see on our companion station, WILL-TV. It's on Saturday afternoons at 4:30. Rick Steves, hello. How are you?
Hi.
Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
And it's a very nice time of year to have you with us here this afternoon, the first weekday of our fall fundraiser.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get people excited about traveling with the help of public broadcasting.
Very good. We've got a special thank you gift.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of these pledge drives and so on, and a lot of people like to get the guidebooks and maps and newsletters if they enjoy travel, if they enjoy my TV show on WILL-TV. And what we're offering now is one thank you package at a radical price. I mean, of course, we're interested in just giving to public broadcasting and not thinking of it as a purchase, but we're actually giving four items here in this $150 thank you package that have a retail value quite a bit over $50. So it's a great opportunity for people to snare some guidebooks and help WILL at the same time.
Yeah.
We've got Europe Through the Back Door, which is my skills book, 500 pages of everything I've learned from 20 years of traveling through Europe. And then to complement that, a 1,000-page collection of all my favorite hotels, restaurants, and sightseeing ideas. That's called The Best of Europe. It's a 2002 guidebook. It's right up to date. And also we've got a map I've designed expressly as a thank you for people supporting public broadcasting that locates every place we've ever visited in our TV series or that I've talked about in my guidebooks. And the map is handy because you just flat out can't find these obscure little wonderful favorite gems in Europe on a normal map because they're so small and hidden, but they just pop out on this map, so that's a lot of fun. And we're offering people who pledged today the latest copy of my 64-page newsletter. So all four of those gifts are yours with great thanks for a call to WILL for $50, and I believe we're going to be talking to travelers there in your listening audience about European travel.
Very good. And the number to call, let me give the number to call and make a pledge of $50 or more that will get you this great Rick Steves package, 217-244-9455. That's 244-WILL. A $50 pledge this afternoon will get you Rick Steves' Europe Through the Back Door guidebook, Rick Steves' Best of Europe guidebook, the Europe Planning Map, and the latest travel newsletter, 217-244-9455. And we'll check in with Jay Pierce a little later this afternoon, this hour, to find out how things are going there in Pledge Central. Meantime, I've got another telephone number, actually two other telephone numbers, to give you this afternoon, because listeners, we're hoping that you'll join our conversation this afternoon here on the air. If you'd like to talk to Rick Steves this afternoon, here are the numbers in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Rick Steves spends several months each year in Europe. He's the author of some 20 European travel guides. He likes taking his rucksack through the back door. Many of his guides carry that idea in their titles. For example, Europe Through the Back Door, the travel skills handbook for independent travelers. This way of travel is a way to see the sights, find great lodging, and most important, have fun and make friends you'll want to see again. As I mentioned, Rick Steves is a big supporter of public broadcasting. He has a public television show that airs Saturday afternoons on our companion station, WILL-TV. That's 4:30 Saturday afternoons. Listeners, I welcome your phone calls. If you'd like to talk to Rick Steves, questions and comments are invited. Have you been in Europe recently? Maybe you have a story or a tip you'd like to share. We look forward to hearing from you. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, Rick Steves, tell us about your latest trip to Europe.
Well, I'm just getting over jet lag from a great 2-week trip to the Netherlands and Belgium, working on a new guidebook there. And it was really fun to be in the Netherlands because it's just such a, you know, I mean, every time I take a group through the Netherlands, somebody in the back of the bus says, everything's so Dutch, you know, and it just really is so Dutch. I had a bicycle, I rented a bike and had it parked outside of my tall, skinny hotel in Amsterdam for 5 days, and just it's the nicest Amsterdam experience I've ever had, and it's just so fun to breeze through the town, over the little bridges and under the trees and past all the people, hanging out, having a good time. The Dutch really know how to live well, and my challenge was to learn as much as I could about the sightseeing and the eating and sleeping and all the experiences and put it into my guidebook, and also accidentally, while I do the guidebook research, getting material for a TV show coming up down the road.
Mm, very good. You know, I know a couple of people who've been to the Netherlands recently, and they had a wonderful time, and they said it's very easy to get around. It's very reasonably priced, and just about everyone speaks English, which makes it really good for us poor Americans who
good for me. I
are
speak only English, and
way.
In the Netherlands, I have a smaller language barrier than any place south of Scandinavia, you know. Then I went down to Belgium, and I've still got a sugar buzz from all the chocolate I ate down there. As part of my research, I had to check out all the different small family-run chocolateries, you know, where they're making these gorgeous chocolates. And I don't think of chocolate as something you buy fresh like donuts or something like that from a bakery. But in Belgium, you buy today's chocolate, and you go home and you eat it right away that evening. And they just every little family that makes their chocolates has their favorite new twist on chocolate. And it was quite a fun experience to try to sample all these different chocolate places and find out which ones have what forte, and then put that into my guidebook.
Mm. So, what kind of new wrinkles are showing up in chocolates?
One thing they've got is trendy kind of flavors, whether it's chili, or one guy had Havana cigar chocolate, and I don't know how they cook it, but they marinated it in cigar tobacco leaves or something like that. Another guy was different fruit blends of their chocolate, and some are dark and some are real sweet, and it's just a lot of fun.
Mm, that sounds great. I love, you know, that's really decadent, but you know, little piece of chocolate, you know, maybe even at breakfast with a big cup of coffee. That sounds great to me.
Europeans are very into fine little delights, and a lot of times it's conspicuous consumption. The name of the maker would be on it in the edible little tag, because, from that family, it's really, really good. And they'll take it to, like we bring a bottle of wine to somebody's house when we go out to dinner, they would bring a little gift-wrapped box of local chocolates. And it's sort of something that they really focus on. That's a beautiful thing about traveling through Europe. Different countries have different little delights that they like. And what I enjoy in my travels is trying to, basically experience all of those and develop kind of a hybrid multicultural love of good living. And boy, you can sure do that in Europe these days. Europeans know how to live very well. I was just making a TV show in Tuscany, and we were going out to the vineyards there, and Italian red wine is really, really quite popular these days. And we were in a small family vineyard making the Brunello di Montalcino. And to drink that great wine with the man, the father and his son that make it, and then go out there with the whole family as they're picking the grapes, and see this kind of small industry with so much family pride injected into it, is really quite nice. We also learned about the agriturismos in Italy, which are farmhouses that are renting rooms out to travelers. And all over the Western world, I guess, small farms are struggling, you know, and in much of Europe, the farms are having the same kind of difficulties that they have in America. And to help make ends meet, they're renting out rooms to travelers. And it gives you a wonderful rural experience.
And, I think I'd love to do that.
It's a very popular way to enjoy Italy away from all the crowds. Italy is so trendy now, so you got to think cleverly about ways to enjoy Italy without waiting in line all day long to get into the Uffizi Gallery or something.
Let's talk with some listeners who are waiting to talk with us this afternoon. First, we're going to go to a caller on line 2 in Urbana. Hello.
Yes, hello, Rick. I watch your show all the time. Some of us sort of sarcastically refer to it as yuppies in Europe, but we watch it very carefully. And I'm just wondering when you're going to tackle Holly's challenge, Adventures Divas, and do Cuba, how to live poorly and still have a lot of class, eat well, and just have a wonderful life.
Oh, man, it's funny.
I'll let you have at it.
Thanks. It's funny you ask that. I just had lunch with Holly. She's also from Seattle, and she's got the Adventure Divas show. And, boy, she does beautiful TV, and I do Europe. You know, my business is called Europe Through the Back Door, and my show is called Rick Steves Europe. And believe it or not, I'm seriously considering giving everybody a double take and having a Rick Steves Europe show go to Cuba, because I just think it's, as you were mentioning, as Holly's discovered, it's a wonderful chance to visit a fascinating country right south of our border. But there's a lot of great places that we can visit that have a different lifestyle, that even have a problem with our government, and there's certainly nothing wrong with going there and checking out and painting a human face on that part of the planet. That's one beautiful thing about travel, is it lets you go to a place where they like us, they respect us, but they wouldn't trade passports. I really think that's pretty exciting, to go to a country that has a standard of living much, much lower than the United States from a material consumption point of view, and realize those people would not trade places with me. They like living the way they live.
Mm. One of the articles in the new newsletter, the one that's summer through fall this year, was traveling to Europe. Get ready to talk politics.
Yeah. Well, it's important these days when we go to Europe, for number one, for Americans to realize that you don't need to be concerned about people angry with you and treating you rudely because they might disagree with our government. Now, we have to be honest with the fact that every country in Europe disagrees with our government in some of our foreign affairs problems, except Britain, and I don't know what the deal is there. But when you travel around the continent, they're all frustrated with our government's unilateral point of view, because Europe is very into multilateralism. But you don't need to think, regardless of your politics, and it doesn't even matter what my politics are, you don't need to think that because that Belgian or that Dane or that Portuguese person has a problem with our government, that they're going to have a problem with you. I tell you, I've traveled 100 days a year ever since 1973 in Europe, and I've been to places where you'd think we'd want to be flying a Canadian flag, maybe, during certain times. And I've never felt that it is a negative for me to be known as an American. I think it's a beautiful opportunity now, in fact, more important than ever, that Americans go over there and travel. I would contend that if all Americans had traveled a little bit, we would have we wouldn't be outvoted in the United Nations 180-2 so routinely.
Hmm. Let's talk with another listener. On line three, a caller in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
I just love your TV program. Every opportunity we have on Saturday afternoon to stay home and watch it, we do.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's really great. We've been to Switzerland several times, and Luxembourg once, and Germany. But my question to you is, do you have tours that are kind of specifically tailored for, you know, the 65 to 75-year-olds?
Well, thank you. I work with 60 people here in Seattle at Europe Through the Back Door, and you can learn more about what we do at ricksteves.com. We take about 200 tours to Europe every year, and they're not tailored for any particular age group, but I'll tell you, the average age is probably 60, and there's plenty of people well into their 60s. You need to be a good walker, because we go to a lot of old hotels that don't have elevators, and we don't believe in carrying your bag for you.
Yeah.
Everybody carries one carry-on the airplane-sized bag. This year we took 5,000 people to Europe. Most of them were my parents' age. Nobody was allowed to check any luggage on the way over. And I don't really care that much about that, but it just forces people to be casual and be on vacation and be mobile and be ready to immerse themselves in Europe.
Excellent. Well, that sounds great.
Yeah, and, you know, thanks for watching the TV show and enjoying it. And I want to take this opportunity to remind all of the listeners and travelers here that are with us today that this is a pledge drive, and this is public broadcasting, and it doesn't happen anywhere else. My show, I'm so thankful for public broadcasting to be able to share my passion for learning about the world through travel with audiences, mainstream audiences all over the United States, because of public broadcasting. My shows would not see the light of day in a world completely commercial. And this is one precious slice of our culture that we need to support. And corporations aren't going to do it. It's you and me. Oh. It's people's travel on people's TV, or it's people's information on people's radio. And right now, WILL needs some phone calls. And we put together this radical package here. I'm telling you, this is four times the value of any other station, I think, that's doing pledge drives with this right now.
Yeah.
We're offering you more than $50 worth of books and maps if you went to a bookstore for a $50 pledge. This is my gift. I'm offering these for the cost of the paper, basically, to WILL. And you're going to get on board and snare all of these thank you gifts for a very reasonable pledge of about 15 cents a day. And I don't know what public broadcasting is worth to you, but it's certainly worth 15 cents a day.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for your call. And it's fun to be talking to all of you.
Yes. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks
now.
For the call this afternoon. If you'd like to talk to Rick this afternoon, give us a call at this number in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Anywhere else outside the Champaign-Urbana area, well, call us toll-free, 800-222-9455. Now, if you would Like to support this public radio station, WILL, please call our pledge line this afternoon, 217-244-9455, 244-WILL. As Rick mentioned, we have a terrific package for you this afternoon when you pledge at the $50 level. Rick Steves Europe Through the Back Door Guidebook, Rick Steves Best of Europe Guidebook, the Europe Planning Map, and the Travel Newsletter. And as Rick mentioned, the retail value on this actually is over $50, and that's the pledge that we're asking for this afternoon. Our pledge central number, 217-244-9455. We've got a number of volunteers standing by ready to answer the phones, and we have one phone line busy, but four are open at the moment. So this would be a great time to get to the phone and make a pledge call, 217-244-9455. Meantime, let's talk with some more listeners who are calling in this afternoon to talk to Rick. Let's go to line one, a caller in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hi there.
Hi. I couldn't help but notice what you said about Cuba. Unless something has happened that I don't know about, we can't all go to Cuba.
Well, Cuba is actually the number one resort destination for Canadians.
Well,
and a lot of Americans go to Cuba via Mexico. I know that it's kind of up to your own how you want to play that yourself. But the fact is, everybody I've talked to, and it's actually guidebooks to Cuba sell very well in the United States, and people have fascinating, stimulating, very valuable experiences when they do go visit Cuba.
Well, no, I really want to go, but I also understand that the Bush administration is severely cracking down on Americans going to Cuba, and
yeah.
They punished some guy just the other day because he had some Cuban cigars. And
yeah, well, it's kind of a joke around the world that Americans can't go to Cuba, and I don't want to get political here, but I'll tell you, if you are comfortable in your own, between you and your maker, if you as a human being should be able to go to the land of Cuba and check it out, it's just like in the past when in the old days, you couldn't go to Israel from Arab countries, and some Arab countries let you in, but if you had a stamp on your passport, you could never go back to the Arab countries,
right.
And Israel never stamped your passport. They stamped a piece of paper when you got to Israel so that you could go to Morocco someday, you see. Well, now there's plenty of cheap flights from the Yucatan that go over to Cuba, and there's different ways to get to Cuba, and I don't know all of the ins and outs of that because I don't research Cuba and so on. I just know that there's a lot of very good, very professional, very decent people that are going to Cuba and having a great time meeting a lot of cool people and actually doing a lot of good grassroots people-to-people diplomacy that I think as time goes by and as Castro becomes history and as George Bush becomes history, we will have a better understanding between our two countries.
Oh, I hope so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Next we go to a listener online, too. Another caller in Urbana. Hello.
Hi. I was going to ask Rick, when would you go to Spain if you had your choice? If you could take any time of the year, when would be the ideal time to visit Spain?
I'd go to Spain any day I could. To be honest, I just spent a month there in April traveling around with one of our tour guides who's a Spaniard, and that was really a boon for me because I don't speak Spanish, and I was updating my guidebook on Spain. I would remind you when you go to Spain that it is really hot and really crowded in the summer. And I think that it takes a toll on how enjoyable it is in the summer. It's like a furnace in Sevilla in July when you step out of your hotel from the air-conditioned hotel out in the streets. But if you go in the spring and the fall, it's wonderful. And I was there in April, and beautiful weather, and not many crowds, and lots of life in the streets. That's one thing I really like about Southern Europe is the life in the streets. Now, I've been in Spain in the winter also, and it's quite cold. I've been in snowstorms in Spain in the middle of the winter, and I would remind you that while resorts close down in the winter, the big cities are vibrant in the winter. And if you can get a one-week break to any of the great cities of Europe, Barcelona, Lisbon, Madrid, London, Paris, Rome, in the winter, the cities are arguably better in the winter than in the summer because they're not overrun with tourists. And the local people are enjoying local culture, and the cultural calendars are in full bore and so on. But to answer your question in just one sentence, April and September/October are the best time to visit Spain, I would say.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. If you were going to go for the holidays, because often families will have time off around the holidays from work, from school and the like.
Right.
If you were going to go for the holidays and you were traveling with kids, where might you go?
You know, my wife and I take a one-week break every winter, and we just choose a great city to enjoy, and we stay for 6 nights in one nice hotel, and we really settle in. And I'm normally I travel too fast. I love to just zip around, and I do that in the summer when the weather's good and days are long and so on. But in the winter, I like the idea of just saying we're gonna be Parisians for a week, or we're gonna really get into Venice or whatever great city you're interested in, and you can pack heavy. You just fly right into that town. You sit into the hotel, and it doesn't matter how light you're packing because you don't need to be so mobile. You make your reservation long in advance. You handle all the disruption caused by Christmas or New Year's because you're situated, and you're not going to be dealing with, can I get a hotel or can I catch a train on the holiday and so on. That makes a lot of sense. Talking about, Celeste, you asked about with kids. Mm-hmm. My kids, we've got a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, and Ann and I have traveled with them every year for the last 15 years. We've written an article together in the Europe Through the Back Door book, which is part of the package that we're offering today at $50. We really enjoyed, with the kids, hanging out in Venice, and it was just so great to have an apartment in Venice, and the kids were free to run around. There was no cars. I mean, I just hope they can swim, you know, if they go into a canal, but they're not going to get run over, that's for sure. And our kids enjoyed Venice a lot. But with a good, smart approach from a parenting point of view, I think you could have an enjoyable vacation in any great city for a Christmas break.
Hmm. Let's talk with another listener, a caller in Chicago on the toll-free line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I love travel programs, and I have traveled quite a few countries. But I would like to ask, Rick, what towns or where would you recommend to go in Italy? And I understand the Italian Riviera is much nicer than the French Riviera.
Well,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I love the Italian Riviera. The Cinque Terre is one of my favorite places, and we've got a new TV show coming up. Actually, we've got 5 new Italy shows coming up in the next month or so on WILL, so stay tuned to that, because I believe they're running our new series, which has been 2 years in the making.
What time would that be?
4:30 on Saturday afternoon.
You might want to check. This caller is calling us from Chicago this afternoon.
That would be
WTTW.
WTTW. I know they run my show, too. In fact, I'm going to be in Chicago for Italy Pledge special in December, where we'll run all 5 of our Italy shows.
It's not on WILL for me in Chicago?
Well, it's on your PBS station.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, Italy is very trendy. Americans, I mean, I'm amazed at how popular Italy is. I've written 25 guidebooks, and my Italy book is far and away the best-selling of those. And you got to remember, if you go where everybody's talking about in Italy, it's going to be crowded. Mm-hmm. Italy suffers from crowds and heat in the summer. You're doing yourself a favor by going shoulder season, that's spring or fall, if you can. And remember, Venice, Florence, and Rome, and Siena, and the Cinque Terre, they're going to be more crowded because everybody's talking about them. But it's a big country, and there's a lot of other places that are purely Italian that just don't have the Michelangelo, or they don't have the guidebook written about them or whatever that you could enjoy and still have all the fun of being in Italy.
What would you know about the floods that are in a lot of the countries there, France, Germany, Italy, even Switzerland?
You've got to keep the news in perspective. It's a very interesting issue. I've got, we do a lot of tours. I work with 60 people here in Seattle, and we take 200 tours around Europe. We've got a dozen tours over there as we speak right now. And we had tours going around Europe through all the floods of the last month or two, and it looks terrible on the TV, but anybody who's a good bus driver or tour guide or a savvy traveler will motor themselves around these kind of problems that come and go. As far as I know right now, there's no real problem with flooding in any of those destinations. They're still, you know, repairing damage that was caused by the floods, and I believe the subway system in Prague is still not functioning, and so on. But life goes on, and the great edible taste treats and the great artistic wonders and the romantic evening walks and so on are still all yours when you go to Europe, even if there has been flooding lately.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
I didn't come in on the, I missed a part of it, and you had mentioned something about you stayed in someone's home that had a vineyard.
Right.
In Tuscany?
Yeah.
And how do you go about finding out about these places?
That's a good question. I really think it's important for people to see the planning part of their trip as a fun and very worthwhile part of the whole experience.
Yeah.
And as your trip date approaches, you can use the web, you can use your local travel bookstores. You've got a great travel bookstore, the Savvy Traveler, right there in downtown Chicago. And you can get online and learn about what kind of options you want to take advantage of. And aggressive studiers that way, people, A students before their trip, they find out of these wonderful opportunities where you can enjoy double the cultural experience for half the price. What we're talking about specifically here is bed and breakfasts, or the local equivalent. Every country in Europe has private homes that you can stay in where you're really part of the family. And if you choose to stay in a farm in Italy, you can actually go out and help them, you know, feed the chickens in the morning. I was just in a farm in Tuscany, which you will see on our TV show coming up on your local public television station, where we were watching them cure the ham, where we were getting to know the sheep that would end up giving the milk that made the pecorino cheese. And then we were sitting down to dinner with this noble woman and her family, who are actually nobility there, and you can, they've got the relatives on the wall for 300 years in their portraits, and learn about the slow food movement in Italy, where people don't allow any neon signs, they don't allow any chain restaurants, they don't allow any traffic on their old middle of their town, and they eat food that was produced locally. They're happy to pay a little more for it. The milk is not homogenized, or I don't know all the details of it, but it's not all the modern kind of stuff, so there's a few concerns about how safe is it, so they actually know the sheep that are making the milk, and it's just a very interesting take on quality living from people who really are determined to live well. That's one of the beauties of travel, and when you stay in people's homes, you're more likely to connect with that. How to find out about that? Well, I'm going to just use that for a reason to get you to call in. We've got nearly 2,000 pages of information we want to send you. It's all hot out of the rucksack, and I can't talk any faster here because you won't be able to understand me, but I could tell you that the guidebooks that we're offering as a thank you cover all of these issues in beautiful depth. If you can call in a pledge right now to WILL, we want to send you the most important of the 20 guidebooks that I've written. It's called Europe Through the Back Door. It's in its 22nd edition. It's all the lessons I've learned from all the mistakes I've made in 20 years of traveling through Europe. When I get ripped off in Europe, I celebrate because they don't know who they just ripped off. I come home, I pack the lesson I learned from that experience into my guidebook so other people can learn from my mistakes rather than their own. That's the Europe Through the Back Door How to Travel Skills book. And then the other book that you'll get as part of the thank you package is the 1,000-page collection of all my favorite hotels, restaurants, sightseeing ideas, and all of these like farmhouses in the countryside and so on. That's the nitty-gritty. And also, to sweeten the package, we want to send you the planning map that I've designed, listing all of my favorite places, everything you've ever seen in any of our TV shows or any of the places I take my groups or that I've listed in my guidebooks, and the 64-page latest edition of our travel newsletter. The feature article is a lengthy behind-the-camera look at how we make our TV show, which some of you may find very interesting, plus lots of great information on Switzerland, on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, on the Euro, on the best castles on the Rhineland, and lots of budget tips from our road scholars, the people who watch the show and actually go over there and travel. Again, all of these gifts are yours, all four of them, and the retail value is actually worth much more than $50. They're yours for a pledge right now of $50 to WILL. Remember, a lot of stations would want to charge a lot more for this. I advocated for this sort of people celebration here. This is a radical departure here. We're calculating that more people will call because we're offering you a much more generous package. I hope I don't live to regret that suggestion of mine. Normally this would go for triple what we're asking, but we need you to call right now. This is People's Travel on People's Broadcasting. Call in with a pledge for $50 to WILL. Then every time you hear Celeste's show, every time you tune into this station, you'll know that you're part of the team.
And the number to call with the pledge of support, $50, 217-244-9455, 244-WILL. Let's check in with Jay Pierce, our program director in Pledge Central, and let's find out if we've got some phone lines open, if we've got some folks calling in with the pledge of support. Jay?
Yeah, well, we've got three phone lines going right now, and it looks like four. Harriet Williamson is picking up a phone right now, and Todd Gleason is picking one up. So it looks like we got them all going. So that means we can give out the house line.
Very good.
And that is 217-333-0850. So you can call in. That's a different number than our pledge line number, but you can get through right now and make your $50 pledge and get this gift package from Rick Steves at 217-333-0850. And I want to thank James Harding from Urbana for calling in and picking up this package, becoming a new friend of WILL. We had another new member calling in from Danville who wanted to remain anonymous. So thank you, too, for becoming a new member. And so, as I said, we got a phone line open now. Joan is waiting your call at 217-244-9455. And again, you know, Celeste and Rick, what can we say? This is a value that by making a pledge, and WILL is the beneficiary of this, and well, ultimately you are. But if you went out to the bookstore right now and bought the Europe Through the Back Door guidebook, the Best of Europe, the Europe Planning Map, and subscribe to the travel newsletter, if you went out to do this, you would end up paying more than your $50 pledge to WILL. So look at the benefit that that you're getting in providing us the money to continue our service to you, and you're getting all of this great stuff that's going to help you enjoy your trip that much more.
And we should say, Jay, that even if somebody is not in a particular philanthropic mood right now, if you have a friend or a loved one that's going to Europe, or if you got a trip coming up, the information here will save you that $50 in one day. Every day in Europe, you'll save that much money, and you'll have a better trip to boot because you're going to be a smart traveler.
That is fantastic. And we have a line open now at 217-244-9455. I just saw Harriet hang up, so if you got a busy signal a minute ago, you can call in now, 244-9455, and we'll set you up right away.
Thanks,
you know,
Jay.
Apart from all of the travel and so on, I'm just so excited about the value of public broadcasting for our society right now. I've just been enjoying Now by Bill Moyers on public TV, and you wouldn't find that kind of provocative, real information for people anywhere else. I know lately we've had all the debates in Congress and so on, and it was so great to listen to my public radio station to hear those debates in much more depth than I would have found on commercial radio. So I hope that people out there, just from a citizenship point of view, realize that more than ever, we need to support public broadcasting. We need to take action. We can't just complain at commercial television or commercial radio. We need to get on board. And this is a small but very effective way to do it. Call WILL, snare all these thank you gifts, get on board. You'll feel very good about it. Every time you tune into the radio station, you'll know you're doing more than your share, and that's a good thing.
217-244-9455, the number to call with your pledge of support. Rick Steves, what do you say we go and talk with some listeners who are waiting for us this afternoon? Next, we're going to go to a caller in Urbana on line one. Nope. Let's move on to a caller on line two on the campus of the University of Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hi, I have a question about the airport in Athens. Mm-hmm. I know some years ago it had the reputation of being the least secure in Europe.
Right.
Post-EU as well as post-9/11, anything you can do to assure parents of high schoolers who are contemplating a trip to Greece this summer?
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember back in the 80s or 90s, Athens had a terrible terrorist event. We've got to keep the risk sort of thing in perspective. If I was I'm a parent, if my kids are not old enough to go to Europe on a school group, but I'm just really sad this year that a lot of school groups were canceled because parents were very nervous about the safety issue. 12 million Americans went to Europe last year. None were even targeted by terrorists. Last year, 8,000 Americans were killed in the United States by guns. Last year, several thousand school children died in swimming pool accidents. They drowned at swimming pool birthday parties. Parents, loving parents, still sent their kids to the birthday party. They didn't worry about swimming pools. So we got to look at it statistically. It's scary to think there was a terrorist event in Athens Airport. It's scary to think it might not have the security we've got. But I'll tell you, Europeans are laughing out loud when they hear that Americans are staying home because they don't want to be victims of some crime. If you care about your loved ones and if you understand the statistics, you'll send them to Europe right away because it is flat-out safer over there. Life is short. The world's a beautiful place. The greatest thing my parents ever did for me was drag me to Europe when I didn't want to go when I was 14 years old.
It all sounds quite convincing, and if it were any other city in Europe, I wouldn't be calling. It's only because Athens had this reputation of having the least secure airport, so I wanted to know what had been done to beef up security.
Well, Athens is the number one source of foreign revenue for Greece is tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they really understand the fragility of that. I mean, if there was one event there, half the biggest employer would be in terrible straits, you know. So I don't know for a fact what they're doing, but I will tell you that They are very protective of their tourist industry. The police on the streets in Athens and all over Greece have little flags on their lapels indicating what languages they speak so that tourists will be comfortable coming to them if they have a question or something like this. I don't hang out at airports particularly, but I think that you're much more at risk just using common sense of staying safe. I mean, 300 pedestrians are run down on the streets of Paris every year. There's a real risk.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the last 15 years has been killed in an airport in Europe. And I always have to remind people to try to keep the scary stuff in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Every day in America, 30,000 airplanes take off and land safely. Nobody celebrates that. But there are a lot of people that have refused to fly. They will drive for the rest of their life. And I have to say they're fools, because it's much more dangerous to drive for the rest of your life than to fly when flying makes sense. So if you want to have the freedom to travel, I just say assess the risks. The risks are real, but look at them not in an emotional way, but in a statistical way, and then just try to reason with it. I've got two kids that are the most precious thing in the world to me, and we've already got our tickets for Italy for this coming summer, and we had a great time in France this last summer, and my kids have a wonderful feeling for the world, and that's worth a lot. And I think the sad irony is that it's actually more dangerous to stay home.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
And I'm not just trying to sell guidebooks. I really believe that.
By the way, callers, if you're calling us this afternoon to make a pledge of financial support, supporting WILL, your public radio station, this is the number to use, 217-244-9455. 244-WILL. There's been a lot of interest in Rick Steves' generous offer this afternoon, the two guidebooks, the Europe Planning Map and the Travel Newsletter. So from time to time, that line might be busy. If that's the case, call us at 217-333-0850. So
Celeste, I should mention that I'm answering these questions pretty quickly and trying to keep things moving just because we want to have a fast-moving interview. But the 500-page Europe Through the Back Door book has chapters on every one of these topics that we've brought up today, on safety, on health, on choosing a good travel agent, on staying healthy, on women traveling alone, on seniors, on accessibility, on traveling with kids, on terrorism, on talking politics with Europeans, on packing light, on cars versus train, on communicating inexpensively and easily with loved ones back home when you're over there. There's so many great new innovations in European travel now that make travel more fun than ever. And all of that is covered very, very thoroughly in Europe Through the Back Door. When I go to Europe now, I buy a disposable cell phone over there. It costs me $50, and I'm able to call in advance to see if the restaurant's open. I can call my wife just for fun when I'm on the top of St. Peter's Dome. I haven't stepped into a bank for 3 years in Europe because I use the ATM machines, and I get a utopian bank-to-bank rate on my exchange. And, of course, now we have the wonderful new euro, which means you don't change money when you cross borders. 12 countries, 400 million people are all using the same coins now, the euro, and that's very good news. And it just happens to be exactly worth a dollar, so there's no more concern about how much does this cost. If the taxi ride costs €7.50, that's $7.50.
Very good. There's a lot of very valuable information in these guides that we're offering to listeners this afternoon. Europe Through the Back Door Guidebook and Rick Steves' Best of Europe. And we hope to hear from you this afternoon with a pledge of financial support. $50 will get you this package, 217-244-9455. Now, let's go and talk with a listener who would like to talk with you this afternoon, Rick. A caller in St. Joe on line 3. Hello.
Hi, Rick. When I've had a chance to see it, I really enjoyed your program on Saturday afternoons.
Thank you very much.
Recently, my daughter and her husband were transferred to Heidelberg, and I just wanted to know what's the best time to visit Heidelberg?
Well, Heidelberg is in Germany near the border of France, and Heidelberg is, it's kind of dreary weather in the winter, to be honest, and it's can be quite nice and mild in the spring and the fall, and it's just nice in the summer. I mean, that's kind of predictable. The nice thing about Heidelberg is, I'm not a big fan of Heidelberg itself. I think it's overrated, but I think that Heidelberg is a wonderful central jumping-off point for exploring any number of destinations, and when we're thinking about Europe, we've got to remember how great their freeway system is. You can get on that Autobahn, Remember, West Germany was the size of the state of Oregon, laced by super freeways with no speed limits. You can get on that Autobahn, and within a couple of hours, you can be in Belgium or the Netherlands or Switzerland. And from Heidelberg, you could have lunch in France very easily, you know. So there's a lot of great destinations nearby. I think that the more you studied, the more you'd find that you'd want even as much time as you possibly could get to enjoy that part of Germany and also use it as a springboard to get over to France.
Good, good. Well, you answered my question about weather, weather conditions in winter.
Just dressed warm. I think when people are traveling in the winter, what I've learned is it's different. When you look at the climate chart, it's different than comparing it to home, because at home you're running from the car into the shop or your office or your home, right, or your school. But over there, you want to be on the streets enjoying being out there in the markets and enjoying the outdoors. Therefore, you want heavy-duty shoes that keep your feet warm. You want a hat and mittens and long johns and so on, when I would never wear mittens and long johns at home. But in Europe, you're out a lot, and you want to be out a lot when you go out to that great palace or whatever.
Right.
So do keep that in mind.
So you're saying spring, summer, and fall is the best time to go?
Spring and fall, generally the best time to go, because it is an affluent time now. And regardless of what you hear about the worry about terrorism and the economy and all this kind of thing, more people than ever are traveling through Europe. And these are Europeans, these are Japanese, and these are Americans. And the summertime is just packed. And I love to travel in the summer. I've traveled every summer for the last 20 years in Europe. But I do know that I find things go a little easier. It's a little less expensive. You've got a little more, it's a little more of a buyer's market instead of a seller's market for things in the spring and the fall. So I prefer that if I can.
Well, and we'll probably be using their places as a base of operations. Do you have any suggestions regarding sites,
from Heidelberg?
I
would remind you, from Heidelberg, you're very close to Alsace, and Alsace is one of my favorite parts of France. Remember, this is a disputed region. The French think the Rhine River should be the border. The Germans historically have thought the Vosges Mountains should be the border. The area in between is called Alsace. And it's after every war, it changes hands between France and Germany. Consequently, the people have names like Jacques Schmidt and so on, and they serve sauerkraut with fine sauces. It's a fascinating mix of German and French culture, and I really like Alsace, and my favorite home base there is called Colmar, C-O-L-M-A-R, and it's got wonderful art in Colmar. Also, from Heidelberg, you're just a short drive from the Mosel River Valley, the Mosel, and that's the sleepy version of the Rhine. And you're also close to Munich, which is the capital of Bavaria. And if you get some good weather, you might want to zip down from Heidelberg to the Swiss Alps, which are just a couple hours to the south of you. The Germans go to the Black Forest for their R&R, and Heidelberg is the gateway to the Black Forest. Very close by is Baden-Baden, which was the ultimate resort in the 19th century in Europe, the German spa town Baden-Baden, and you can go there for this very decadent hedonistic spa experience that's wide open for tourists. And that's been one of my most enjoyable travel experiences. And as a tour guide, I'll never forget taking my groups to Baden-Baden and letting them all really enjoy this German-style spa luxury. So there's a world of experiences you could have. And it's just really important to have the good information. You might want to check I've got a website at ricksteves.com. And there's a lot of information on Germany specifically that you could tap into there by using the search engine. And remember, we've done a TV show on that region, and anybody who wants any of the scripts for any of our TV shows, the entire scripts are there for free at ricksteves.com.
Oh, super, super. And can you give me an idea, just in case I want to get an international driver's license, where do I go to get that?
You can get your international driver's license at your local AAA office. But an international driver's license, from my experience, is not required.
Oh, really?
I don't want to say flat out you don't need one. I'm a little bit lax on certain officious things, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
But I have not had an international driver's license for more than 10 years.
Oh, really?
And I drive all over Europe every year. International driver's license is a legal translation of your license. The purpose of it is so that Portuguese-speaking policeman, when he pulls you over, can find out what is the expiration date on your driver's license. Your driver's license itself works over there. If you ask any policeman, do you need an international driver's license, in a handful of countries, they'll say yes, and we will fine you if you don't have it. If you ask any car rental company, do you need an international driver's license, anywhere in Europe, they'll tell you your American license works just fine.
Oh,
what is the legality? I don't know. Are you nervous about it? It only costs $10 or something at AAA. What's another use for it? It's a good disposable piece of photo ID. If you would like to have a piece of photo ID that you can walk away from, it costs you $10 at AAA.
Okay, excellent. Okay.
But that's the kind of information I just read to you. I happen to almost know it by heart, the paragraph in my driver's chapter in Europe Through the Back Door. So let me remind folks once again, I would love to talk all day long. I give these six-hour lectures here in Seattle about this, but out of frustration that I can't go everywhere, I've packed the lesson notes and all the things I've learned from the School of Hard Knocks for 20 years into Europe Through the Back Door. This is the best-selling Europe guidebook in the United States. It's hot out of the rucksack. It's the brand-new 22nd edition. It's yours with great thanks. That's all the tips in the first half, and my favorite discoveries, all the back doors in the last half of the book, for a pledge of $50. And that's just one of four thank you gifts. All of these are yours. There's just one level today. Whether you like it or not, you get everything. For a $50 pledge, you get two books, the map, the newsletter, and that is the 500-page skills book, the 1,000-page collection of my favorite hotels, restaurants, and sightseeing ideas, the map that you can't find anywhere else, designed as a thank you for people supporting us, that locates all my favorite discoveries, and our latest newsletter, which, if you're curious about the tours that I lead, if you're curious about how we make our TV shows, if you wonder why so many people from India are in Switzerland right now, and if you want to know a little bit about why they've got these big guns sticking out of barns in Switzerland, we've got articles on all sorts of fun things in this new edition of our 64-page newsletter.
Rick Steves, Best of Europe, the Planning Map, and the Travel Newsletter. And our thanks very much this afternoon to Rick Steves. Rick, thanks so much. Happy trails.
Hey, thank you, and thank you everybody for the good calls, and I hope that they enjoy their guidebooks and their continued listening to WILL. Happy travels.
Bye-bye.